Today's scripture reading is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 3, verses 1 through 17. I'm reading from the Common English Bible. If you'd like to follow along, in Pew Bibles, page 734. In those days, John the Baptist appeared in the desert of Judea, announcing, "Change your hearts and lives. Here comes the kingdom of heaven." He was the one whom Isaiah the prophet spoke when he said, "The voice of the one shouting in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight.'" John wore clothes made of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist. He ate locusts and wild honey. People from Jerusalem, throughout Judea, and all around the Jordan River came to him. As they confessed their sins, he baptized them in the Jordan River. Many Pharisees and Sadducees came to be baptized by John. He said to them, "You children of snakes, who warned you to escape from the angry judgment that is coming soon? Produce fruit that shows you have changed your hearts and lives, and don't even think about saying to yourselves, 'Abraham is our father.' I tell you that God is able to raise up Abraham's children from these stones. The axe is already at the roots of the trees. Therefore, every tree that does not produce good fruit will be chopped down and tossed into the fire. I baptize with water those of you who have changed your hearts and lives. The one who is coming after me is stronger than I am. I'm not worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. The shovel he uses to sift the wheat from the husks is in his hands. He will clean out his threshing area and bring the wheat into his barn, but he will burn the husks with a fire that can't be put out." At that time, Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan River so that John would baptize him. John tried to stop him and said, "I need to be baptized you, yet you come to me." Jesus answered, "Allow me to be baptized now. This is necessary to fulfill all righteousness." So John agreed to baptize Jesus. When Jesus was baptized, he immediately came up out of the water. Heaven was open to him, and he saw the Spirit of God coming down like a dove and resting on him. A voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, whom I dearly love. I find happiness in him."
Today we're talking about the baptism of Jesus. Like stones. Stones and water. Over the years, we become like stones, don't we? We often wonder what it was like to be at our baptism. The image. Wet stones. Just waiting. Watching. Wondering. Many years ago, this is where you're going to laugh, I was serving a church in Odessa, Florida, and the church was extremely desperate because they asked me to be in the chancel choir. There's laughter among you. In our choir, we were blessed with this lady who had a phenomenal voice and a spirit that matched it. Anne was born blind, and she had her dog, Noah, her service dog, that came with her every Sunday to church. And every choir practice, Noah was there. And he was a great big black lab. And you can just picture a chancel choir area with this big 125-pound black lab lumbering in and laying down. And then Anne would stand up there with her hymnal, like this, upside down so everyone could notice that the blind lady was holding a book. And she made a point of letting everyone know that she was blind. But she wanted no help. One particular night, my wife and I always used to take Ann home from choir practice. It was kind of late. We got to Ann's house. I jumped out of the car and I ran around the car and got the door open and said, "Hang on, Ann, let me help you." And she goes, "Okay." So as I bumbled around in the dark and I fell up her front steps, I got to her house and I got the door unlocked and she was standing there. And I said, "Wait a minute, Ann, let me get the light." This is a true story. "Let me get the light for you, Ann." And she says, "What, do you need to see all my dust or what?" I'm like, "Well, I don't want you to bump into anything." And she goes, "Unless you've moved my furniture, I'm not going to bump into anything." And I didn't think about it. I got back in the car, and my wife, always being the one to support me, said, "Well, you're an idiot." And I said, "Well, have you ever thought about, she sits around her house and she has a TV." She goes, "Well, yeah, she listens to TV." I'm like, wonder if she turns the lights on. And I sit there and I had all these weird thoughts going through my head. I wonder if she turns the lights on when she's at home. And this and that. And why does she have lights on her table anyway? She's blind. Why does she need that for? And I just kept thinking about these things. So the next Sunday at church, I was the butt of every joke Ann could come up with. She vividly painted this picture for everyone in the choir to understand. Here's the bumbling youth pastor who helped the blind lady see and turn on her light. During church, during the joys and concerns, she stood up and said, "I was so glad Pastor Terry was there to turn on the lights in my house for me." So all 200 people in attendance realized I was an idiot. The image she painted for me was so vivid, how she saw things without her eyes. Today's text, we read, Matthew paints that same picture for us, don't he? It's a vivid picture. Here's this crazy man, John the Baptist, and what we know about him is he's Jesus' cousin. But he's kind of a kook. He's running around out in the desert screaming, "Make the way of the Lord," wearing camel hair, eating locusts and wild honey. Now, I was going to try to pin Sarah down before church, but she was too busy worrying about making snow. And I'm going to ask her, "Have you ever eaten a locust?" See, bug people, they want to know what they taste like. It's not like chicken, trust me. But John the Baptist did this, and Matthew paints this picture of John telling Jesus, "I'm not worthy to baptize you." Even though John the Baptist had his own disciples, he had his own followers. There was many people who thought John the Baptist was actually the Messiah. They thought that. And John said, no, "I'm not worthy to baptize you, Jesus." And Jesus said, "But you must. You must baptize me." So I started thinking about it. Today being Affirmation Sunday, we've got something cool that's going to happen. When time's appropriate, we're going to have a renewal service here. We're going to bless this water that we've poured across these stones. And then you're going to be invited to come up and select one of these stones, no matter which stone it is from the water. Take that stone, place it to your forehead, make the sign of the cross. Take this rock and leave with it as a memory of the baptism of Christ. And you're reaffirming your commitment to his church. Has anyone really thought about why Jesus needed to be baptized? He is the one without sin. Now, there's so much discussion. You know, I don't know what everybody's background is in this room, but there's some that think unless you're submerged, you're not baptized. If you're sprinkled, you're not baptized. If you are sprinkled, well, you just got a wet forehead. You got to be washed clean of all your sins. Why did Jesus need to be washed clean of his sins? Because Jesus was without sin. Why? He was making a commitment. He was making a dedication of his life to his Father. He was making a dedication to the ministry of the church. He was one of the cast of the characters that made all of this story for all of us to have salvation come together. One of the cast of the characters. Let's look at the story the past couple of weeks. We had Mary. If we didn't have Mary, we wouldn't have the story of the virgin birth. And we have those that doubt that. If we didn't have Joseph, let's really think about that. Joseph, the one who had to protect his son. Those of you who missed out last week, you missed out learning about how Joseph listened to the angel and he took his son and he fled off into the desert to protect him so you could live. He listened. Part of that cast of characters that needed to be part of this whole story. Jesus' ministry was a teaching ministry up until the time that he was baptized. When Jesus was baptized, he took on a full outwardly appearance of ministry. He was no longer just the teacher, the rabbi. He was the prophet. He was the Messiah. He was the one dedicated fully in service. Baptism is an outward sign of an inner transformation. An outward sign of an inner transformation. Now, no matter what your denomination is or what your beliefs are, you don't have to be baptized. It's great that you are. What's greater is the outward sign of a Christian life. Living inside you, sharing, developing, growing, learning, becoming all that you can be through that cleansing, through that water, through that blessing. Jesus knew this. He brought it upon us that he went to John. John didn't go to him. He went to John and said, "But you must. But you must." Today, you must. You must make the decision today. Are you willing to recommit to Christ? Are you ready to reaffirm your commitment and all that there is? If you would, follow along with me on the screen. On behalf of the whole church, I ask you, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves?
I do.
Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in His grace, and promise to serve Him as your Lord, in union with the church which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races?
I do.
Do you, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ?
I do.
Will you nurture one another in Christian faith and life?
With God's help, we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Eternal Father, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through the water. After the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow. When you saw slaves in Egypt, you let you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan to the land, the promised land. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus, nurtured in the water of a womb, who was baptized by John, anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection, and to make disciples of all nations.
With God's guidance, love, and assurance, we commit ourselves to service in his holy church. We ask that God's light shine brightly in our lives as the Spirit pours over us. We pledge to the hands and feet of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
The God of all grace, who has called us to eternal glory in Christ, establish and strengthen you by the power of the Holy Spirit, that you may live in grace and peace. Today we come forth with an opportunity to renew our baptism, to affirm our connection to Jesus Christ. As the ushers come forward, I ask you to come forth. Select one of the rocks. Bless yourself with the rock. Take the rock and hold on to it. Use it as a memory stone. Use it as a reminder of your commitment to Christ. Realize that through these stones, Christ built his church upon the rock that you stand. A true commitment. If the ushers would disperse from the back to the front, please. I encourage you after the service, if you have someone in your family that couldn't be here today, or a neighbor or a shut-in that you know, this will be here probably till tomorrow. Come by. Select one of the stones. Take it to your loved one. Remember what Scripture says. When one can't walk, we walk for them. Share the love of Christ with them. If you would, please stand and join us on our closing song.